Hello everyone, welcome to Open Mic Podcast presented by the Open Doors Initiative, which explores the challenges and opportunities of the working world from the perspectives of marginalized communities. The podcast will take the form of short interview segments with individuals who will share their life experiences and insights. My name is Hoga Yosefi Wardak, hosting the Open Mic Podcast. The podcast will be available from the Open Doors website and from different podcast streaming providers. It will be promoted online through social media and our member companies and supporting partners. Today in this episode, we have two special guests, Bernard Joyce and Pat Stocks, Irish Traveler Movement. Welcome to both. Welcome, Pat. Welcome, Bernard.
How are you?
Yeah, thanks so much. We're absolutely delighted to be here. And it's our first time on this podcast. So this is
your first time in the podcast?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah.
How was the experience?
So far, so good. Yeah. You've been very kind and it's great. I just think it's a fabulous building you're in and you can see some amazing, incredible work as well.
Great. How are you, Pat?
A bit nervous now, but looking forward to get this done, to be honest.
Great. So welcome. Thanks a million for joining us.
Yeah.
I'll start, Bernard, from you. Tell me a bit about yourself, about the family, where are you from, and how is the journey so far?
Oh, it's just a long. It's like, how long do you have? Maybe I'll start with some areas. I was born in Dublin.
Nice.
I'm the youngest of four boys.
Mm-hmm.
I was brought up pretty much in the 80s. And I suppose I have a very strong, proud mm-hmm. heritage, culture, and sense of belonging to my community.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also encountered really high hostility, prejudice, mm-hmm. Discrimination, and for other words, racism, that probably at the time I wouldn't have mm-hmm. been aware of. So, yeah, it was a really kind of like, it was just a tough time mm-hmm. because I was brought up in Dublin and I was brought up in a time where travellers weren't welcomed
mm-hmm.
and it's very evident today as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, I left school with no qualifications
mm-hmm.
And somehow I did manage to go back to further education.
Yeah.
And I graduated from NUI Minute and Social and Youth and Community Development.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt very privileged, really, to have gone on and done mm-hmm. that. And I know that education is a really important aspect in our lives, but it's also very important in terms of employment. And I know mm-hmm. that we're going to discuss that a little bit today.
Yeah.
So I'm living in Kells, County Meath, for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also a dad of six kids.
Wow.
And the
three
girls and three boys.
Wow, that's nice.
Three girls, three boys, and really feeling quite proud as well because our second daughter has just done her leaving cert and will be mm-hmm. going to Carlow College.
Nice.
So I think just in terms of times and changes and repurposing, I think mm-hmm. we are we see there is. Mm-hmm. Change and positive change,
mm-hmm.
but unfortunately, there's still challenges out there. So we still see that can be a struggle.
Mm-hmm, got it. But about you?
Yeah, I'm living in Longford here mm-hmm. since about 2005. Grew up in England before that.
Mm-hmm.
So married. I have six kids as well.
Both in the same state.
Yeah.
How it's possible? Yeah. Both in the same state. Six kids. Like. Have you ever discussed about this?
No.
Never?
We share ideas.
Share ideas,
really?
Yeah.
I'm a bit older in Pat, so I share notes, but I'm sure at this stage Pat is nearly an expert.
Right. But Pat looks so young for the six kids.
Yes. Yeah.
Why, Pat? Yeah. What was the reason?
Got married young, so six boys as well, so it's a bit of a
all boys?
All boys.
Wow.
So, I've started up working with the Longford Primary Healthcare Project here
mm-hmm.
about 4 years ago. I done it on a 12-month course, a two-week mm-hmm. course, and a job opened up there then 2 years ago. So mm-hmm. I was working there part-time and joined the board of the ITM with Bernard here last mm-hmm. year, and the position for the apprenticeship opened up. So I went for the interview, and I'm in here now since March.
Mm-hmm.
So really enjoying it now so far.
Yeah, that's good. So I'm going to ask you, Bernard, that have you seen any change in attitudes toward hiring travelers over the past few years, or change in public perception?
Well, for the length of time I'm working, like I've been in the sector, mm-hmm. Nearly 30 years.
Yeah.
And the figures and stats, and I know mm-hmm. your audience are saying like stats and numbers and figures, but they are actually important because yeah. it can show from the 90s right up to the present day
mm-hmm.
that the figures in terms of travel and employment remain just very similar in terms yeah. of 82%.
Mm-hmm.
So 82%, is quite a crisis point because you have an economy where there's nearly seen as zero employment. You get to a certain mm-hmm. level, like 2 or 3%. But when you break that down and you start mm-hmm. looking at the stats and people,
yeah.
the human stories behind it, you start to show that for travellers, including myself and Pat and for our children and for mm-hmm. our community, we have strong expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And that when you're working, it gives you a sense of purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a sense of, getting up in the morning. It gives you a sense of, in terms of, I suppose, in terms of like, you're now part of something.
Mm-hmm.
And you have this kind of your goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, it's a level of, I think, dignity, mm-hmm. And self-worth. So for the community, they're crying out for employment. Mm-hmm. It's not that travellers are sitting back and not wanting to work.
Mm-hmm.
They're going out. They're yeah. looking
mm-hmm.
for employment. They're looking for opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, as soon as you mention, as soon as people become aware that you are a Irish traveller,
mm-hmm.
their chances are just knocked back with immediate effect. You just, mm-hmm. Especially in small towns where everybody knows, people say, well, how do you know you're a traveler?
Yeah.
You're in a small town, you live mm-hmm. in there generations, and people know the site. They know the name, like Stokes is well mm-hmm. established in Longford. Joyce's are well established name for many different reasons, but mm-hmm. also in the traveler community as well, and McDonough's. So people resonate and know that. And I think what we want to try and do is we just want to change that. We want mm-hmm. to say that travellers were always working.
Yeah.
We never depended on the state.
Mm-hmm.
We were striving economically. We were striving as entrepreneurs. We're probably some of the most entrepreneur people mm-hmm. in the world.
Mm.
We're nomadic.
Yeah.
We travelled because there was the very essence of who we were
mm-hmm.
and what we did and what we achieved.
Mm-hmm.
We did recycling. When it was frowned upon, when mm-hmm. people said, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
That's nearly illegal. You're nearly be arrested.
Yeah.
And today, it's like the world are talking about
mm-hmm.
reusable, energy, mm-hmm. efficiency. So we were doing that for decades mm-hmm. and generations. We traded in horses. We traded mm-hmm. in, labour. We worked in rural Ireland.
Wow.
We created work mm-hmm. when there wasn't. I mean,
yeah.
In the past, we were, mm-hmm. people were described as part of in terms of like tinsmiths. And this is before industrialization and plastics.
Mm-hmm.
And people relied on Irish travellers
yeah.
in terms of labour,
mm-hmm.
in terms of skills. And also, we're in terms of talent and musicians,
yeah.
we have so many talented storytellers, musicians, artists,
nice.
Across Ireland, and they're, mm-hmm. They're just, in terms of like people who look at yeah. Irish music, they look at the Furies,
yeah,
who are Irish travellers. They look mm-hmm. at the Pecker Dunne.
Mm-hmm.
It's another fantastic. Christy Moore got some of his songs
yeah.
from Irish travellers. So
mm-hmm.
musicians will tell you that they're just incredibly grateful to Irish travellers for both their talent, music, and for their songs.
Mm-hmm.
So we've contributed massively and significantly to the whole of society.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just not sure, like, it doesn't show that sense of appreciation or understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose that's a sad reality in society, that we're just never accepted for who mm-hmm. we are, who we are as a people.
Mm-hmm.
And more so, people wanted to accept us to mm-hmm. fit into the norm and, you know, and to assimilate
mm-hmm.
because they never seen us or appreciated who we were as a people.
Yeah, got it. But have you ever faced any barrier or problem in the way that you are?
Some of the issues that we've been seeing since we started this with travellers on apprenticeships already is they don't tell their employers that they are travellers.
Mm-hmm.
For the second time that they're not noticed, to be honest, they're on a job there. For people starting up a new apprenticeship, there's grants there that we're offering as well for the employer as well to take them on. And we have some people there that doesn't feel comfortable to even mention that to their employer in case it affects their employment as well with them. So I think things just have to change with that as well. It's bad that people can't go into work or onto an apprenticeship and admit that they're a traveller or tell that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bernard, do you think how the business can help community to make them more receptive to employing travellers in the future?
Yeah, like I think for businesses, you have to start with like who is the entrepreneurs, who are the businesses, and the vast majority of people are probably Irish settled people. So it's very important that people get to understand who Irish travellers are. And they also should liaison with either the Irish Traveller Movement, the National Apprenticeship Programme, and reach out to us. And we'd be delighted, just to say that, we'd be absolutely delighted for any business who are listening in to contact Pat, myself, or the coordinator of the National Employment Enterprise and Employment, Andrew Chappell. So what you can do is contact us to check our website, itmtrav.ie, just in terms of updated information and who Irish travellers are, and also in terms of the programme. The other side is that we are working obviously with government in terms of an employment strategy and seeing how that can transpire and materialise. But there should be kind of proactive measures or positive measures. And some businesses have taken a pledge.
Yeah.
And I think it's really worthwhile looking at this because it just means in terms of, and Pat would know this, but that, you know, that it should be seen that where travellers are employed or people from other minority groups, it creates a kind of diversity in the workplace and it creates an opportunity to for people to work, but also a little bit reflective of what society should be, how society is. So where there's opportunities for smaller businesses, they should really be looking to support travel employment at a very local level. And really what I'm talking about is like if you're in Mayo or if you're in small towns of Ballina, that these are for travellers need to be supported in the community.
Yeah.
Not in terms of support, you know, and in terms of a number of positions, probably in Dublin, but supporting the community so they can get up in the morning and they can walk to work and walk back and be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there has to be kind of change in that because that's not really translating and we're not seeing that. So, and that's very similar in terms of maybe like larger companies, they have kind of social conscious policy, social policy. And so they probably do need to look at targeted measures in terms of particular groups. And you can see that in terms of like employment, in terms of gender quotas. Now, I'm not proposing you'd have quotas in terms of travel employment, but I would be proposing that that they should put in measures just to ensure that their workforce and that if travellers are applying, you don't deliberately exclude them from the workforce. And I think more times than not, travelers might even get an interview.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there was a young person without mentioning their name, but they did do the leave insert. And they had done a lot of training in terms of leadership, mm-hmm. participation, volunteered. But they gave their CV out to every single business and shop.
Got it.
And they never got a response.
Uh-huh.
They did it three consecutive times. Not once, uh-huh. twice, three times. And it was kind of a sad reality because then that person just felt...
Yeah.
Like, does people really care? And you can see other classmates and
mm-hmm.
others taking up part-time work for college and opportunities. And that's symptomatic. That's what I mean. That's kind of symptomatic. And then people would say, travellers don't want to work. Travellers don't want to be employed.
Yeah.
And then when they're knocking on doors and they're like banging down doors,
mm-hmm.
it's not forthcoming.
Yeah.
And all we're saying is just give people a chance. Give mm-hmm. them an opportunity. If they work hard, give them an opportunity. Because I think in the workplace that I work with settled people.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat does as well.
Yeah. You know? And in this bind...
It breaks down barriers.
Mm-hmm.
It actually breaks down. What I'm saying is when you work and you're in an environment, it breaks down barriers and it breaks down perceived views and prejudices.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, it's a really important place to be in.
Got it. Yeah. And in this point, Bernard, I want to ask the Pat that do you have any advice for travelers who would like in advance, like in future education? Do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, with this day and age, there like more travelers should be staying in mm-hmm. into third level education and stuff like mm-hmm. that, I was coming to the end of my level 7 and community development with NYG.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd recommend it to anyone to try and do it. And when you have that there behind your back and you're going then applying for jobs and interviews and stuff, they have to start taking it serious and stuff like that,
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, got it. Bernard, as a last question, because there is a lack of time, but it was a nice chat. As a last question, I will ask you, what experiences have travelers had going through the different programs? Just tell me about your experience. Yeah.
So I just want to say, look, Pat started with us and I'm absolutely thrilled that Pat's with the apprenticeship program.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to just highlight that there are still bursaries available to travelers if they're listening in terms of the bursary.
Yeah.
It's a really positive initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we're taking this initiative up is because we want to see positive action taken.
Yeah.
So through the Department of Higher Education, the mm-hmm. National Traveller Apprenticeship Programme, which is a pilot, and it comes to the end of the year, we're hoping to see that in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the first time we were able to see the traveller take up an apprenticeship programme with specific tailored supports, where mm-hmm. travellers are now employed, working with travellers, alongside a bursary that's available to help people with tools, travel and costs. And I think that's just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to see that ripple effect slowly.
Yeah.
So it's just the question you asked earlier, just in terms of like what you're saying about businesses. Mm-hmm. But it's also what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say that we would love to get employers, just the employers on board across any sector in terms of apprenticeship.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, it just really, we want to see travellers in carpentry, electricians,
mm-hmm.
plumbers, even working in terms of the public, mm-hmm. public sector, even in terms of like sound or podcast. Like there's so many massive opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And for the community, we just want to really harness that and support that. So I just want to say that. And please contact us. Mm-hmm. Right. So
again, please contact us, please.
Yes. contact us through the ITM. Our number is 01679-6577. If not, you can contact us by email. My email address is director@itmtrav.ie. We actually want to hear from you. And I think that's part of the reason why we do this broadcast. We just want to get the message out there. And we want collaboration, we want support, and we want to be working in partnership with businesses in the communities.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, Bernard, those that they are listening to us, they took already the number and contact info, and they will contact you.
Yeah.
Thanks a million, Bernard and Pats, for joining us. It was a nice chat and conversation for both. Thanks a million.
Yeah, thank you very much for having us.
Thanks a million, everyone, for listening. As Bernard said, please follow us, Open Doors, on social media, Twitter and LinkedIn. Thanks a million. See you. We hope you found the series helpful. Please follow us online at Open Doors Work on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Thanks a million.